Good afternoon. I'm Carla Forrester. I'm from the Windows Partner and Customer Ecosystem team, and I lead IoT within that team. I'm really excited to be here with you in Shenzhen. I was actually thinking back to my first trip to Shenzhen, which was over 16 years ago. And it's really stunning to look at the difference from 16 years ago, when Shenzhen was, of course, a manufacturing center. But now, seeing the innovation here, seeing that you've transformed from being a manufacturing center to also being a center of innovation, makes it even more exciting to be here to talk to you about the Internet of Things today. I'm going to start out talking about the IoT opportunity all up from a market perspective, and then shift to briefly talking about Microsoft's IoT strategy beyond Windows, and then really focus in on Windows 10 IoT and how we can work together to bring IoT solutions to market based on Windows. As part of that, I'm going to talk about the value that Windows brings to your devices, as well as talk about some of the new things coming with the Creators Update this spring. And then finally, we'll close with a call to action. So to start off, before we really get into IoT, the purpose of all of this is really to drive digital transformation. And if you've heard Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella speak about some of the focus areas for the company, he talks about how businesses and customers around the world can really transform their businesses into software and services businesses. And what this can really drive is profit margins more similar to what you think of as a software profit margin of 80% we've got here on the slide. But it really is incredible when you start to think about new ways you can operate your business when you have access to new data and the insights that comes with that. So if we look at the graph here, I mentioned the 80% number there at the top. There are many, many analyst estimates out there for the size of the IoT opportunity. We all know it's big. At the bottom of the graph here, we've got 30 billion as the number of connected devices that are expected by the year 2020. That's not very far away. And it's estimated that those 30 billion devices can generate 44 zettabytes of data. To put that in perspective, that's one zettabyte equal to a billion gigabytes. So we're talking about huge numbers. And what that can translate to in a company that becomes digitally transformed is it can generate $100 million of additional profit that company can take to the bottom line. So we're talking about true transformation of business and closer connection to customers. All sorts of new scenarios can be unlocked. So digital transformation really hinges on four key things. And at the foundation of it, it's creating a digital mindset. So it's really stepping back and looking at the business that you're in and what you're trying to accomplish in a new way. In the old way, a company thought about producing a product, shipping the product, and the customer would buy it. And that would be the end of the story. Now, with digital transformation, you can talk about and think about creating feedback loops. You can engage your customers in new ways, which can then empower employees in new ways, which can lead to optimizing operations, as well as transforming products and coming up with new products, in many cases, coming up with services that can go alongside your products. So the Internet of Things is really an enabler of that digital transformation. And so when we think about the Internet of Things, we think about a connected mesh of devices. Those devices could be anything from a simple sensor to a device that has more intelligence. Either way, those devices are creating data. And you need to be able to harness that data to unlock business insights. And ultimately, you need to drive new actions with those insights. Analysis can happen on an intelligent edge device, which I'll talk about more in a minute. And it can also happen up in the intelligent cloud. And then bringing these insights together is where you can truly start to have that business transformation. So you name an industry, and they're probably thinking about the Internet of Things and how they can transform. I don't know about you, but I've been to a few IoT conferences, and it's amazing the people you talk to there and the kinds of things that they're considering and doing. And so we've got some example industries on here where people are actively looking at and starting to transform their businesses with the Internet of Things, from transportation, smart cities, agriculture. There's lots of fun examples that you see with agriculture when you go to these events. Rowan mentioned this morning that for Windows, we really want to hone in on three of these. So later in the presentation, I will talk more about smart manufacturing, smart retail, and the smart home. So IoT can seem kind of complex. So before we continue on, I wanted to break it down into five key areas. So when you think about Internet of Things, of course, it all starts with the things. And things can be line of business assets, they can be industry devices, or as I mentioned earlier, they could be a small sensor. Those things must have connectivity to the internet, to each other, and to the people in the environment. And then those things collect and communicate data. And that data may be digitally connected electronically in the environment, or it may even be data that a human being is inputting into the process. And then there are the analytics performed on that data. And that's where you start to get to the insights. And of course, having an insight is fine, but you need to then take action on that insight in order to actually drive a new business result. And then, of course, underpinning all of this is security. And as people start to connect devices to the internet that have never been connected before, it's critically important that they think about security from an end-to-end perspective. So when we think about Microsoft's IoT strategy, we really break it into two main pieces that drive that end-to-end portfolio. There's intelligent edge computing. And what that is really in a local environment, being able to generate real-time insights from that data in that environment. So an example that we showed actually at the IoT Solutions World Congress in Barcelona in October was a fleet management solution that one of our partners had created. And in that example, you have the truck in the fleet. The driver has certain information that he or she needs to know about what's going on in the truck with the cargo on the truck. And that information needs to be known in real time with no latency so that that driver can act on that information at the local level. But then you also need to have the intelligence that comes from the cloud. And in that fleet management example, you need to be able to see if you're in the headquarters or the regional office, you need to be able to see what's happening in every truck in your fleet. And in some cases, you're the one that needs to take action, not the driver at the local level. And so it's really bringing that edge intelligence at the local level together with that cloud intelligence at the global level to where you can truly get these impactful scenarios. So this is a summary of Microsoft's broad Internet of Things portfolio. The first is obviously the intelligent devices. And so I'll be talking more in the presentation about how Windows 10 IoT can power these intelligent devices. But then, of course, we've got our Azure IoT suite, which allows you to connect the devices, because ultimately connecting to the cloud is a critical piece of that. The Microsoft IoT suite is a collection of pre-configured solutions that quickly enable companies to get started. So they have some scenarios like remote monitoring, asset management, and predictive maintenance that can get you started, and then you can build out solutions from there. The suite includes the Azure IoT Hub, Stream Analytics, and Machine Learning. Next, for intelligent insights, we have the Cortana Intelligence Suite. And this is a suite of cloud-based services that let you do deep analysis on your data to generate those insights. It includes information management, big data stores, machine learning and analytics, intelligence, and data visualization. And finally, in order to take action on those insights, you have Dynamics 365, which unifies CRM and ERP capabilities into applications that work seamlessly together across sales, customer service, field service, finance, operations, all the different business functions can come together, and you can scale and add as you go. This allows you to take action on those insights. So, for example, in that fleet management case, if a problem was detected on a truck, but it was something that didn't need to be taken care of immediately, a work order could be generated. So when that truck goes back to the headquarters, it can get the necessary service it needs. So now I want to talk about the components of the end-to-end Microsoft IoT solution. As I've mentioned, it all starts with sensors and things. So the smallest things that are out there generating data, these are probably the lowest cost things in the chain, and they obviously would then be the highest volume. Next, we've got smart devices, industry devices, and servers. So the way we think about smart devices is they are a mid-range in cost and volume kind of device. They are something like an intelligent gateway that can do data aggregation, or it could be a smart appliance or any number of things that is really a bit more intelligent than just a sensor or thing that's collecting minimal data out there. And then you've got industry devices, so industrial PCs, things that are doing heavy data processing. And then servers, where you can actually, at a local level, run those analytics. And if it's a case where you don't want to be cloud connected, you know, you can do the analytics and get those insights locally. And then, of course, the cloud connectivity is key to having that end-to-end IoT solution. And so from a Microsoft perspective, we think of that cloud connection as our Azure products, but of course Windows can also connect to any cloud. So since I'm from Windows, I think about it from a Windows perspective. So the middle set of devices are things that Windows can run on. So you can build those devices using Windows as the operating system. But then, of course, Windows works with the cloud, and we are doing work with the Azure team to make it as seamless and easy to connect Windows devices to Azure Cloud. And I'll talk a bit more about that. And then, of course, connecting the gateway or the smart device, the industry device, to sensors and things in that on-premises environment is also important. And we'll talk a bit more about that connectivity. But think about that also as it works with Windows scenario, because some of those things are so small that they're not going to actually be able to run Windows, or they wouldn't even need to be able to run Windows. So before we get into some of the verticals, I wanted to just give you a quick overview of the different Windows 10 IoT editions. When we first introduced Windows 10 a year and a half ago, what we did was we brought together, created a converged platform that allows you to create devices from servers to PCs to Xboxes to IoT devices. So Windows Server 2016 is an embedded version of our server product that allows you to build IoT server appliances. So common uses for this product are really compute-intensive devices like digital security and surveillance devices, as well as telecommunications networking devices. Next, we've got Windows 10 IoT Enterprise. So this is actually the same product that our enterprise customers license, but it's a version of the product that we offer to OEM partners to be able to build IoT devices. And it's commonly used for purpose-built devices that need more computing power, that need the rich UI that you get with Windows 10 Enterprise. And commonly, you think of industrial PCs, graphics-intensive digital signs, and powerful edge gateways as examples of devices you might build with this version. Then we've got Windows 10 IoT Mobile. This is a version that's based on our mobile OS, and so it is intended for ruggedized handheld kind of devices that you might use in the back room of a warehouse or back room of a retail store for scanning or in a logistics kind of environment. And that comes with the modern shell as well as supports UWP apps. And then finally, Windows 10 IoT Core is the newest addition in the family. It was introduced about a year ago for commercialization. And this is the one that I'll spend some more time on later in the presentation. But this has the smallest OS footprint and also allows you low-level bus and hardware access support. This one can be implemented in either a headed with display implementation with a UWP app or in a headless, like an IoT gateway kind of implementation. Examples of devices here would be smart gateways, appliances, smart appliances like a smart thermostat or a smart refrigerator. So now I want to talk more about the three verticals that Roanne mentioned this morning. These are really verticals that we in the Windows team are focusing more deeply on. But, of course, Windows will run and support devices for any industry. So what I want to do now is go a bit more deeply into smart manufacturing, predictive maintenance scenario, and then talk about smart retail with an asset tracking example, and then talk a bit about the smart home remote monitoring and security scenario. And just think of these as examples of how this can all come together. So manufacturing has been automated for decades. Many of you, have been in the industry, you know this. But I think the interesting thing here is that with IoT, manufacturing can be further transformed in order to drive the kinds of results that you see here. So getting that enhanced operational insight, improving equipment reliability, having faster response time. These are obviously all things that in manufacturing they've been doing for years, but I think with IoT, we can now go to a different level. It's also about where companies can find a competitive advantage and improve the bottom line. Harnessing data in new ways can unlock, you know, new scenarios and new relationships with customers and others in the value chain. And that's where you can really get to some interesting business transformation. So the example here for predictive maintenance. In manufacturing environments, often it's a 24/7 operation where the machines are never down. And unplanned downtime can cost millions of dollars. Even a small slowdown in factory throughput can have big ramifications to costs as well as to customer satisfaction. So adding sensors and edge intelligence can take you from a preventative maintenance kind of situation where you're looking at historical data to predict when you need to do maintenance to truly a predictive maintenance scenario. So as an example, you could have a piece of equipment with a rotor and have vibration data that you're actually sensing. And from that data and machine intelligence, you can tell that perhaps that is in need of some sort of recalibration, or maybe it needs to have a part replaced. But you can then proactively do that long before that piece of equipment either fails or causes defects on the manufacturing line. And so that is a way to transform how you think about doing maintenance on that equipment. In many cases in manufacturing, we find that the makers of the robots, for example, that are used on the line are actually the ones who are servicing those devices. And so in cases like that, they could actually take that data and transform the kind of service offerings that they are providing to that customer who has that factory. And that's where it can start to get really interesting. If you look at the example I've got here, showing some device types that you'd probably find in a manufacturing environment, industrial PC, an intelligent gateway, a server. Many times these manufacturing sites don't want to have continuous cloud connectivity. They want to be able to operate autonomously without the internet, so that server can play a big role there. And then, of course, ultimately you're going to have some cloud connectivity. And so then the industrial equipment that is being monitored could be a robot, like I mentioned. It could be a specialized tool or fixture, even an automated welding machine, any kind of thing in the manufacturing process. I think the other interesting thing to think about is that it's not just about one piece of equipment, but it's about the entire manufacturing process and how you can look at getting sensor data and other data across that so that you can predict and prevent problems all down that line. So the bottom line here is that you can not only improve operational efficiency and increase factory output, which affects the P&L, but you can also look for new opportunities to serve your customers, maybe if you're doing a just-in-time manufacturing where it's a build-to-order kind of situation. Someone's ordered their tennis shoes customized or their car customized. You can really start to get into some interesting new revenue-generating scenarios as well. We have a few examples here from the local team working with partners here in China around smart manufacturing. So Vantron has this IoT gateway for a commercial air conditioner data acquisition scenario. And then Unistrong has this ruggedized tablet for agricultural situations. It's designed to fit on the front of a tractor. And then MDOR, who Roanne showed a device from earlier today, has this ruggedized tablet, which is designed for industrial automation scenarios. So in terms of smart retail, retailers are obviously all about customer experience, and they use that as a way to differentiate. But it's also a very margin-intensive business, and so they're also all focused on the bottom line. And so retail is a really interesting area when you think about IoT, because it can both help with the customer experience as well as operational efficiency that can go to that bottom line. So the example I want to talk about today is with asset tracking. Many retailers have already implemented RFID tags on their inventory, but store employees still have to manually scan and wand to get that inventory check with that those RFID tags. So if you implement sensors in the store, in fixed locations in the store, you can actually automate that process. And that can result in higher accuracy as well as free up store employees to do other tasks. And so basically, this is just the beginning of you can collect this data. And it's lots and lots of data that gets collected. If you think about like clothing in a retail store, all the clothing in there as it gets moved around generating data. Well, only a small amount of that data actually needs to get passed up to the cloud, because the store employees, they care if this jacket got moved from point A to point B in the store and now it's in the wrong place. But the headquarters doesn't need to know that. And so an intelligent gateway can help sort out what data needs to get fed up to the cloud. And then what you can start to do is really unlock new customer scenarios where you can take that inventory data and identify new merchandising opportunities and other scenarios that can really add new value and unlock new business opportunities. And here's some examples from smart retail from local partners as well, with Hisense with this 2-in-1 point-of-sale device, Gumcom with the G5 smart vending machine, and Omdor again with the digital signage. So smart home, this is something as an industry we've been talking about, it feels like forever. But now with Wi-Fi everywhere and costs getting lower and lower for putting sensors in things and making them smart, feels like we're finally getting to a point where you can truly have some of these scenarios realized. So enabling home security, automating the home, improving energy management, and enabling remote monitoring and control are some examples of things people are trying to do in the home. What I want to talk about here specifically is just one example of home security, where you can install, and this is a simplistic example, but you can install smart video cameras to monitor the home environment, have that data passed to a local gateway and then up to the cloud, and then generate alerts in real time when something changes in that home environment, and either get those alerts on your phone if you're away from home or within the home on a tablet or a PC. And from the simplest sense, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you could just take action yourself and have it be something that you're, as the consumer, you're kind of running that security application for yourself. But as a company, you also may think about creating a service, and then that's where it can start to get interesting, where you can charge for that service and then have new things that you offer in addition to that home security starting point. And here's a couple of examples also from local partners. I may not pronounce these exactly right, so excuse me. Hikvision with a cloud camera. This one lets you monitor your pets while you're away, which is actually quite a popular scenario. And then Delhua home robot, Xiaolei, which can interact with your kids, and there's other home scenarios that you can do with that smart robot. So I showed this slide earlier. Just want to reinforce that the things we've been talking about cover the end-to-end here, from the sensors and things to the smart devices and industry devices and servers in the middle to the cloud. And now I want to focus a bit more on the four Windows IoT editions, Windows 10 IoT Core, Windows 10 IoT Enterprise, IoT Mobile, and Windows Server. And I'm going to spend a bit more time on Windows 10 IoT Core since it's our newest edition. So Windows 10, if you think about the pillars of Windows 10, the value that it brings for IoT, they're actually very similar to the value that it brings all up to the devices that you build. It's all about trust and security, productivity, which translates to management of devices, updatability, and then, of course, connectivity. So I want to talk a bit more about these. But before I do that, I want to show you a short video.
The future of the Internet of Things is moving closer with Windows 10 IoT and Intelligent Edge Computing, giving you more immediate and actionable insights. With Windows, the smart devices at the center of your IoT solution work with your existing infrastructure and give you world-class security and a faster path to harness the power of the cloud, so you can make better decisions, be more connected, and more productive, all while protecting the data you value most. So get closer to the future of your business today.
All right, so let's talk a bit more about Windows 10 IoT. In terms of trusted, you know, helping you defend against modern security threats, securing that device from at the device level as well as at the data level. Productive, being able to easily build and deploy your solutions and then manage those IoT devices using familiar tools. And then connected, seamlessly connecting your devices to each other and to the cloud. So Windows 10 IoT Core specifically, when we think about those pillars, first is trusted. And if you build Windows 10 devices, PCs, and others, you'll recognize many of the things I have listed here. And what I want to reinforce is that Windows 10 IoT Core has those same secure boot, trusted boot, BitLocker, TPM, all to secure that device and that data. From a productive perspective, you can use Windows Update to update the device. With the anniversary update, we added UWP Store App Servicing for IoT Core, and you've got obviously Visual Studio and other familiar development tools. And then device management. We use the same Windows stack, and so you can manage the device with SCCM or with popular MDM solutions. And then finally, connected. We're participating in a couple of different standards, OCF and AllJoin, which I'll talk about more in a minute, focusing mostly on consumer right now. And then OPC UA, we have UWP support for industrial scenarios. And then, of course, ubiquitous connectivity, being able to connect over USB, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth LE, or mobile broadband. With the Creators Update, we're implementing some additional things, and I'm not going to go through every single bullet on this slide, but I wanted to give you an overview of what's coming for IoT Core in these three areas. And now I want to focus a bit more on Cortana, Azure IoT Gateway SDK integration, and the Open Connectivity Foundation. So starting with Cortana. So Cortana, as you may remember, first came to Windows phones a few years ago. She is your personal assistant, and she was already quite popular. People really liked Cortana, and so when we came out with Windows 10, we brought Cortana to Windows 10 PCs, tablets, Windows Holographic, and Xbox. Roanne mentioned this morning that Cortana is one of the top delighters when you think about Windows scenarios. And so it's also been one of the top requests we've gotten from many of you and from other partners around the world. And so we are pleased to announce and confirm today that we are bringing Cortana to Windows 10 IoT Core with the Creators Update coming out later this year. This will enable you to build devices with displays so you get that immersive Cortana experience. We have some example kinds of devices here, but think about it, any kind of a smart device with a screen that now can take advantage of Cortana. She is a truly personal digital assistant, and there are a few things that we want to make sure that we get the quality right. And so she does need to have a display, adhere to the Microsoft speech platform specifications, and also have internet connectivity and the ability to have a Microsoft sign-in so that she can know you and be your assistant. So there is a Cortana session right after this one, and I encourage you to stay for that and hear more about how you can build that great Cortana experience into your device. Next, integration with Azure. As I said, we're doing more and more to make it as seamless and easy as possible to implement Windows devices with Azure. With the anniversary update, we added a capability with a provisioning tool to be able to easily implement TPM 2.0 with Azure. And then now coming, Azure has an IoT Gateway SDK, which helps make your gateway device intelligent. And we are right now working with them for the Creators Update on having the SDK work seamlessly with Universal Windows Platform so that you can get that intelligent edge processing on your Windows Gateway device. So standards are obviously very important in the IoT environment. Microsoft is very committed and active in the Open Connectivity Foundation. Matt Perry, who's actually my manager, just became president of OCF, and so we are very committed to that organization. You may have heard that in October, the All-Scene Alliance merged with OCF, and so we brought those two standards together. Windows 10 had already been supporting AllJoin natively, and now we're working for the Creators Update to include OCF data models for smart home in Windows 10, as well as bringing Visual Studio extensions for IoTivity, which is the open source project associated with OCF. So we encourage you to get involved with OCF as well. And then OPC UA. So this is something that OPC UA is a leading industrial standard. It's been around for a long time. Our Azure counterparts have been very involved and active there. And at Hanover Messe in the spring, we announced UWP support for OPC UA and integration into the Azure IoT suite. And then at the recent Barcelona event in October, we had a whole showcase in the Microsoft booth showing devices that many partners had already been working on taking advantage of that OPC UA standard. So I'm not going to go through this, just wanted to give you an idea that there's all sorts of IoT devices that you can build with Windows 10 IoT Core. And this is not an exhaustive list, this is just kind of a starting point list. So you may or may not have heard that Windows 10 IoT Core now is a free license for commercialization. When we started out with the product, it was for makers that it was free, but for commercialization, there was a licensing fee. This summer, we actually announced that it's free, and you can actually get that license by going to windows4iotdevices.com. We also have GitHub project that can help get you started building images on IoT Core. From a silicon perspective, I just wanted to summarize the silicon that works with IoT Core. Of course, we have Intel 32 and 64-bit Atom. And then at the Intel Developers Conference this summer, they announced Jewel, Intel Jewel, which will have support in our Creators Update. And then, of course, we have Qualcomm Snapdragon and the Maker Board support. Minimum hardware specs. Basically, this, as I mentioned earlier, is the smallest footprint supported. And so you can do either a headed or a headless device with IoT Core. I want to talk a bit more about Apollo Lake. So at Intel's, or at the Barcelona event, Intel announced the E3900 series Apollo Lake. They didn't specifically talk about operating systems there, so we, Intel and I, wanted to make sure that you knew that IoT Core is supporting this new Atom processor, and that is true today. So I just wanted to make sure that that news was clear. You can see some of the value that this new version of this new Atom processor can bring. We also have community silicon options. So this is something that came out a few months back. But basically, a silicon partner can add their device to our community site. You can see here we have Allwinner and NVIDIA silicon that's already on the site in devices. Key thing here is that IoT Core on these devices is validated and supported by the partner who's creating that device, not by Microsoft. But this does give additional silicon options to the ecosystem. So to summarize, I want to make sure that as many of you as possible get involved in OCF. We're continuing to add members. We're getting lots of interest, as I mentioned earlier, primarily around consumer scenarios, but it's certainly not limited to that. So I have the website here if you're interested in learning more. Second, of course, we want to work with you to build Windows 10 devices. Windows 10 IoT devices. And if you're going to build a device on Windows IoT Core, we have a lot of resources online. We've got windowsondevices.com that has technical resources for you. We've got windowsforbusiness.com, which is our all-up site that has an IoT page that talks about all of our IoT offerings. And then we've got the free Windows 10 IoT Core license, which you can obtain on windowsforiotdevices.com. So we're really excited, as I mentioned earlier, to see the kinds of additional innovation that can come from many of you in the room today, in addition to some of the devices that I highlighted when I was talking about manufacturing, retail, and smart home. And then finally, Azure has a certification program. I think many of you are aware of that, but they continue to enhance that program. And by certifying your device on Azure, you can get placement on their website, and it's a good way to show companies who might be looking, customers who might be looking to implement Azure and are looking for specific devices. It can help them identify devices that are already certified on Azure, and so that can create new opportunity for all of you. So with that, I want to thank you. It's always energizing to come here to Shenzhen and see what's changed. And I'm just really impressed by, as I mentioned, the innovation, the energy, and the fast pace of change that happens here. So with that, I want to thank you and again encourage you to stay on for the Cortana session. My colleague, May, will be joining us shortly. So thank you.